happy Easter.
Amen. Thanks God.
And happy April Fool's Day. I think that covers all of the holidays for the day. There is a group called the Historical Jesus Movement. And their stated goal is to get to the historical Jesus, and in their attempt to do that, they take out all of the miraculous, including the resurrection. It's almost as if they believe, and actually they do believe, that the disciples made it up. As if they were sitting in their room afterwards and going, I can't believe they fell for it. April Fools. And if that's the case, then the disciples were really committed to the joke. Because they all died for it. But we believe that something entirely happened that day. Entirely different. I'll get there someday. Please bow. Mighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we are so blessed. We believe in an empty tomb. Lord, that belief is foundational for us. Lord, we believe that resurrection accomplished everything for us. We thank you, we praise you. Lord, I pray that at this time you'll be with me, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. May you, Almighty God, be glorified in all that we do. And not just on a Sunday morning, Lord, but all of our lives. May you be praised. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. A lot of problems that the Corinthian church was dealing with. One of them was an over-realized sense of eschatology. What that means is they believed that the end times had already happened. Now, there's a tension that exists in the Bible. Because in one sense, we are in the final days. Acts chapter 2. Peter quotes Joel 2 that says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. And he says, that's what's going on today. We are in the last days.
That's right.
But we also believe that Jesus is coming back. They believed that he wasn't coming back and that there was no resurrection. And that caused all kinds of different false ideas in the church. So that's what Paul is dealing with. Verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain. If Christ is preached, and that could be translated, and maybe should be translated, since Christ is proclaimed. The word proclaim means to proclaim as a herald. There are a couple qualifications for a herald. A herald had to have a good speaking voice, but they also had to make sure that their message was the message of whoever hired them. The king. And so they would go into a village and they would say, hear ye, here's the message of the king. And I think that's significant. There's other words that Paul could have chosen here. He could have chosen the word that means to proclaim the gospel. I think what he's saying is that this message is God's message. It's not just their message. It's God's message, and that they are proclaiming as heralds the message of God. And that message is Christ has risen. And so since that's our message, and since, by the way, that's why there is a church in Corinth, because they received that message, how is it that some of you are saying that there is no resurrection from the dead? And then Paul uses a common argument theme, taking the argument of your opponent and expanding it out and saying, okay, if this is true, then let's expand it out and see how it relates over here. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ also was not raised from the dead. But I think Paul is doing something more. I think he is doing that, but I think he's also doing something more. See, according to Scripture, Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, he conquered death. That was one of the purposes for the resurrection. As a matter of fact, later on in this chapter, he's going to say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? That was the purpose of the whole cross event. The death, burial, and resurrection was so that death could be defeated. So if there is no resurrection of the dead, then you have just negated the purpose for the resurrection of Christ. And therefore, our proclamation is vain, or empty, or without effect. If Jesus did not raise from the dead, then our belief, matter of fact, he goes on and says, your faith, your trust in Jesus has no value. It is empty and it is without effect as well. There, what are you believing in? Just a man. I believe that the reason why this historical Jesus movement wants to take away the miraculous and especially the resurrection is because if he's just a man, you can listen to him or not listen to him. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
He's just a man. Oh, maybe he had some good things to say, but you get to pick and choose which was good and which was not. You get to decide. He's just a man. Another good teacher. Although I do like what C.S. Lewis said about that. He said, you can't call Jesus a good teacher and take away the Son of God part. There's really three things you have to accept about Jesus. Either he is who he claimed to be. He claimed very clearly in his message, he claimed to be the Son of God. Or he was flat out lying. And if he's flat out lying, he's not a good teacher.
That's right.
Or he's completely crazy. He believes that he is the Messiah, but he's not the Messiah. And again, if he's crazy, you don't want to listen to what he's saying. So Paul is basically saying the same thing. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, then what you believe in has no power in your life. I mentioned this Wednesday night in our study. When I was studying Romans, one of the commentators, Jim McGuigan, said that faith in and of itself has no power. Now when I read that, I went, huh? But I read further, which is always a good idea. And he says, if your faith is not in Jesus Christ, it has no power. Okay, so as an example, I went to an all-day addiction seminar, which sounds like a ton of fun. And this lady said that alcohol promised her everything. So she turned to alcohol because it promised an escape from the horrors of her life. But what it delivered was robbery. It took everything from her. She lost her family, she lost her job, she lost everything. So her faith was a real, genuine faith, but it was in the wrong thing. And therefore it had no power.
That's right.
If your faith is in a Jesus that did not come out of the tomb, your faith has no power.
That's right.
That's what Paul is saying. Verse 15. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because we testify against God that he has raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. If the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. So on top of that, not only is our proclamation empty, worthless, not only is your faith empty or worthless, we are guilty of being false witnesses, which is a breaking of one of the Ten Commandments. But notice who they're false witnesses against. Their message is from God. They're acting as heralds of God. But if their message is a lie, then they're lying about God. That seems like a pretty serious thing, I would think. So he says, look, if what you're saying, what you believe is true, then we are false witnesses because we claim that he raised Jesus from the dead. And yet, you're saying that he didn't. And if there is no resurrection of the dead again, then there is no resurrection of Christ. Your faith is worthless. And you are still standing in your sins. One of the things that Jesus accomplished at the cross was forgiveness of sins. But really, when we say that, we don't just mean at the cross. We mean the death, burial, and resurrection. If he died on the cross and stayed dead, there's no power there. There is no forgiveness. Look at it this way. Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it, to fulfill the law. We are still under a sacrificial system. The only difference is that when I mess up, when I sin, I don't have to go kill a lamb to do a sin offering, which is a good thing because I don't own any. And I don't have that much money because, man, I'd be going out there all the time.
Hey, here's another lamb for you.
What Jesus accomplished is he became the perfect sacrifice made once for all. So now I am still under a sacrificial system, but it is Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice that has died for my sins and resurrected so that I could stand forgiven before my God. So every time I mess up, I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ,
amen,
who is no longer in the tomb.
That's right.
Amen.
Verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. In Paul's day, one of the things that he had to deal with a couple of times at least, they believed Jesus was going to come back again right away. I mean, Jesus said soon, and so they expected it to happen right away. Matter of fact, they believed he would come back before anyone died. So that's why he had to write 2 Thessalonians and say, look, the people who have died are not going to miss out on anything. The dead are going to be resurrected and meet Jesus in the sky first, and then those who are living will be pulled up with him, with them. The dead will not miss out on anything. If there's no resurrection, the dead are lost. Dead is dead. That's all. If there is no resurrection from the dead, I've got to stop talking about seeing my granny again. Because I won't. It doesn't matter how good she lived her life, she's dead, she's gone. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if she had a faith in Jesus Christ. None of that matters. She's just dead. I'm not sure that they thought that through. I'm not sure they thought it out. And so Paul reminds them, he says, look, if there's no resurrection from the dead, this is what you're saying. That your brothers and sisters in Christ who have died are now just gone. And if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, and I think it's really important that he says in this life only.
That's right.
There's this tension in the Bible, and as humans, we tend to go one extreme or the other. Have you guys noticed that? We have a really hard time of finding the balance.
Yeah.
Okay, so some people will focus so much on the coming of Jesus that they forget to live today. I've studied with this group in the Netherlands that they were so focused on trying to find out when Jesus is going to come back again that they were not living for Jesus today. okay, that's out of balance. I hope we can see that. But I also know people that are so focused on today and making this world a better place that they lose their hope in the coming Christ. Now here's what we need to realize. If our hope is in making the world a better place, in the 2,000 plus years since Jesus walked this earth, have we done a good job?
No.
Be honest.
No.
No. If that's our goal, and if that's my goal as a human being, I'm 55 years old. I have passed the middle part of my life, most likely, unless I live to be 110.
Yeah.
On this earth, we're talking.
Right.
And if I look back at my life and I think it's all about making the world a better place, you see, Paul says, if that's your only hope, you are the most miserable men on earth. If that's your only hope to make this world a better place, if you think that's what faith in Christ is all about, then you're going to have to look around and realize that you have failed miserably. This world is a messed up, scary horror film.
Amen.
I don't want to be negative because really that's not how I view life. But without the hope in Jesus Christ, that's all I could see. But when I understand that my faith is in a resurrected Lord and that I will also be resurrected with Him unless I live until He comes back again, when I understand that my faith is about a world that transcends this life, and I talk to other people about Jesus Christ and how He raised from the grave, and if they believe it, their life is changed, not just for this life, but for all eternity. See, it's really not about what I'm doing. It's about what God's doing, isn't it? And when I understand that it's not about this life, but it's about a hope, I can agree with Paul that anything that I have to endure on this life cannot be compared to the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Because even if you're a follower of Christ, you have to endure tough times. Right? I know there's a message out there. We call it the health and wealth gospel. I don't find it in the Bible anywhere. But there's a message out there that says, I heard this lady say on TV that if you're a follower of Christ, you should never get sick.
Trials and tribulations.
I don't know what world she's living in. But it's not the world of the Bible, and it's not the world of faith in Jesus Christ. Because my faith is not this worldly only.
That's right.
And if I die in this world, if I get sick and die, I have a home with God in heaven.
Amen.
And if the people that I love... See, we had to wrestle with this not too long ago. Somebody I love very dearly came very close to dying. And if my hope is in this life only, then my son's life would have been done at a very young age if it had happened. And I don't know how I could have dealt with that. Our hope is not in this life only. Our hope is an eternal life. Our hope is in a resurrection from the dead.
Praise God.
That's our message and that's our proclamation. We believe that Jesus came out of that tomb not just because it was a cool thing to do. He conquered death. And now I can live my life without the threat of death hanging over me all the time. And isn't that good news?
Amen.
Yeah. Sometimes at our house, we have what we call a dance party. I will grab Kathleen's hands and we will just dance and we'll just say, dance party. Usually it starts with me. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But she'll look over at Grandma, and Grandma's sitting down trying to do stuff, and she'll go over and grab her hand and say, Grandma, dance party. And so, of course, Grandma would say, oh, no, I'm busy. No, she doesn't do that. She gets up, and we all dance party together. You and I are in a resurrection party. And when we look around and we see people are not in the resurrection party, we want them to be in the party.
Amen.
So that's our message. There are too many people who are stuck in this life that have no hope beyond this life. So I deal with young people that are experiencing horrible kinds of abuse at the hands of parents or step-parents or friends. And if my only message to them is, well, you just make today a better day for you. Now, that is part of my message, by the way. But if that's their only hope, when they leave the place where I'm talking to them, they're going to go right back into the same situation. I heard a Christian man ask one time about another young man who was in a pretty difficult home life, and he said, should we encourage him to run away? And I said, absolutely not. If he runs away, he's going to be put into the system. His life will not get better. What our job is to tell them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ that can change who they are. It may not change their situation. There may be times when we have to let that go, that our situation may not change. But God, the resurrected Lord in me with the hope of a resurrection someday, I can face anything this life has to throw at me.
That's right.
That is the resurrection party. I want everybody to be in that party. So that's our message. And there is nobody that's going to take that away from me. And there are going to be people who are going to stand up and they're going to use words and it's going to sound good. I saw a professor who was probably part of this historical Jesus movement one Easter weekend. It was on the news. They're going to do a thing about Easter. And I'm like, well, I'll watch that. So they had this guy from some, you know, really fancy university. He has a PhD. And he said, well, if you look at what Luke does, Luke, when he talks about the body being put in the grave, he uses the Greek word soma. It's always so impressive if you know what the Greek, you know. And that was really Luke making a mistake as he's writing his account, because soma never means corpse. It always refers to a live body. And so Luke, poor Luke, he's just a fisherman after all. No, actually, he's not. I got him confused. He's a physician. He's pretty good. Poor Luke just made a mistake. So I said, you know what? I've looked at the word soma a couple of times. I don't think he's right. I'm going to look it up again. So I look it in at Bauer, Art, and Gingrich, and Danker. And doesn't that sound impressive? That's why I tell you this, because it's just a lexicon. It's not impressive at all. I look up the word, and one of the first lines is, Homer uses the word soma to refer to corpses. The man flat out lied. Why? Because they want to take away the power of the resurrection, because if there's not a resurrection, then you don't have to listen to what Jesus says. It doesn't have to be life-forming. It's just a message of, maybe he was a good guy, but, you know, nothing really. I don't care how many PhDs the man has in front of his name. I will not allow anyone to take the resurrection party away from me.
Yeah, praise God. That's right.
So this morning, the world is focusing in on the resurrection story. I know a lot of people don't. To them, it's about chocolate bunnies, I know. But for a lot of people, for maybe one moment in their life, they're thinking about Jesus and that the fact that he is said to have raised from the dead. But you and I, we don't once a year gather to party over the resurrection. We party every day.
That's right.
Because our Savior is no longer in the tomb.
No.
And no matter how scary this world gets, if there was nothing left but clowns... I'm sorry I threw that out there. Some people have a real issue with them. Even if that's all that was left... No matter how bad the world is, my Savior came out of that tomb. And my hope is not just that this world is going to become a better place. My hope is that I will be resurrected and that He will take me home to the Father. So, happy Easter.
Thank you.
And may the glory of the story fill you with joy and shape your everyday life. And may you be a part of the party. And may we all share the story with others.
That's it.
It's too important not.